And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today, it's another volume of Secrets. In fact, this is volume, I believe it's 146. Thank you. Sandra's over there working the dials and such here in the studio. And she says it's volume 146 of Secrets. You know, I love these secrets because I'm able to pass on to you, my dear friends, news and information that the controlled media dare not touch. And then if they do touch it, they won't tell you the truth about it. But that's what we're in the business of doing here at Power of Prophecy. Did you know that Jesus Christ is calling the book of Revelation the spirit of prophecy? But then the Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. Power of prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God because Jesus is the very spirit of prophecy and he is the truth. Well, unfortunately, there are people out there that are trying to convince us that they're Christians. Meanwhile, they're promoting one of the most vicious religions in the world, and I'm talking about Judaism. Judaism, a religion that has a holy book called the Talmud, the principles of which teach that Jesus is a bastard, burning in hell, suffering, and boiling excrement. That's pretty hideous. Pretty monstrous. And you can talk all day about the New Age movement or about Hinduism or Buddhism. But what other religion says such horrible things about our Savior, Lord Jesus? Only the Jews and Judaism. And yet I have a letter here from the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Now look, I want to be friends with everybody, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. I'd like to even be friends with atheists, agnostics. But I'm not going to be in a spiritual relationship with them. But listen to what the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and I have a letter here signed by a reverend. Don't they just love to call themselves reverends? Reverend Jerry Clark, Master of Divinity. Oh, yes. Director of Church Relations for the organization known as the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. He wrote a letter to me, and boy, sure wasted his time. He says, for the past 25 years, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been working to build bridges between the Christian and Jewish faith communities. Bridges? How can you build a bridge between the devil and the Lord Jesus? You can't do it. You don't build a bridge. You separate yourself from evil. Well, he goes on to say, this Reverend Jerry Clark says, it is gratifying to know that instead of looking at what separates Christians and Jews, our fellowship organization focuses on what unites us. Oh, isn't that just peachy? That just makes me cry with sentimental tears. Instead of looking at what separates Christians and Jews, the fellowship focuses on what unites us. Well, that would be okay, dear friends, if they focused on Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can unite Jews and Gentiles is Jesus Christ. But they don't want to focus on that. They believe at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews that it is Jesus Christ that separates us. So the best way to do that is not to mention the name of Jesus to the Jews. You see, you're a hate monger if you bring Jesus, if you preach to the Jews, if you tell them that by separating themselves from Jesus Christ, they're separating themselves from heaven, from eternal destiny in heaven. They're headed for hell. Well, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're not going to say that. Why, that might make Jews mad at them or angry at them. Well, heavens to Betsy, we don't want to do that, do we? It's better to let them go to hell than to tell them the truth. Then he goes on to say, my pledge is to be accountable. Accountable for what? Then they go on to invite me to a gala banquet in Chicago. They must not know one thing about my ministry. They got a mailing list, I'm sure, of pastors and ministry leaders and sent it out to them, including me. Boy, they made a mistake there. And they've invited me to this big banquet and to an exciting cruise to Alaska this summer, so I can hobnob with all the Jewish rabbis and the Christian evangelicals that are part of this nonsensical movement. I don't think I'm going to be going on any cruise ship anytime soon. I've never been on a cruise ship, and I'm not going to start now. And all I can say is I hope that there is a cruise ship liner company called the Carnival or Carnival. Seems like that would be very fitting if they contacted the Carnival company and had their little fellowship cruise. Meanwhile, I've got another booklet here from an organization called On Wings of Eagles. And I think that'll change it to On Wings of Vultures. It's put out also by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. But this little brochure is signed by a Jewish rabbi. They actually sent it out and it's signed by a Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, who's the president of this organization, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And the rabbi, and I don't really want to call him rabbi because Jesus said, call no man master or Lord except your Father in heaven. Call no man master. Rabbi means master in Hebrew. I think it's a disgrace to call a rabbi master. Besides that, Jesus said, don't do it, and I'm not going to do it. There's only one master, and that's, well, him, Jesus. The rest are just pretense, masquerading as masters or rabbi. Well, according to this brochure here, they're wanting me to send them some money. Wanting you to send them some money. Why? So that they can pay for Jews to return from foreign lands, such as the Soviet Union, Ethiopia, India, and Arab lands, back to Israel. That they claim in here, in this International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, just like all of the evangelical fakers, they claim that God wants all the Jews to return to the land of Israel. Now, I've gotten scores of this literature over the years asking me for money so that they can pay for jet aircraft to fly Jews back to Israel from whatever countries they're living in, wherever they were born at. I've never received one that said, please send us money so we can send American Jews back to Israel. We're the only country that they don't want to take Jews out of and send back to Israel. Now, isn't that odd? Now, if the Bible really says that all the Jews are going to return to Israel, then there's 7.5 million Jews sitting in America, more than any country in the world. Did you know we have as many Jews in America as they do living in Israel today? There are around 7 million to 7.5 million Jews living in Israel today. Check it out. Go to the encyclopedias. And the same number, maybe a little bit more, are living in the United States. But none of these people, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, and by the way, Pat Boone, the former, crooner singer. He's one of these guys that's always asking for money for these organizations. They never want to send American Jews. And listen, I got a good deal for you. I will contribute to some organization that sends American Jews to Israel. Like Abe Foxman, head of the ADL. I'd like that rascal to go back to Israel and stay there. Get out of America. Boy, wouldn't that brighten things a bit? He's a Christian hater. That'd make America a lot better place. How about Barbara Streisand? How about Tom Brokaw? How about all the Jews that run the media? How about the Jews that own CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN? That's right, they're all owned by Jews. How about Wolf Blitzer, who's an agent for AIPAC? How about all the Jewish lobbyists in America that are running our Congress today? How about the Jew living in Los Angeles, California, that has been outed as being the porno king? Pornographic films, X-rated films. He's a Jew living in California. How about the guys that put out all the smutty literature out of New York City that are all Jews? That's right. Load them up on aircraft. Take them back to their beloved homeland, Israel. But interestingly enough, nobody wants to do that. How about Ben Bernanke, head of the Federal Reserve? He's a Jew. How about Alan Greenspan, the last head of the Federal Reserve? He's a Jew. How about Mr. Paul Volcker, the guy before him, head of the Federal Reserve? The last three heads of the Federal Reserve have all been Jews. How about Henry Paulson, Secretary of Treasury for the Bush administration? He's a Jew. Send him back. The no good, filthy devils that hate the Constitution of the United States and hate Christianity, they're everywhere in America. And they're Jews. I'm all for sending them back. I'd be a sponsor of it, but they don't need my money. I mean, Ben Bernanke probably has $100 million. How about Bill Gates, head of Microsoft? One of the richest men in the world. How about Michael Dell? They could really build up Israel. Think of what they could do for their own nation since they love Israel so much and they put Israel first. How about Michael Chertoff, head of Homeland Security? Why, he could really boost Israel's security against the terrorists. Send him back home. Since he thinks that's his home, how about the chief of staff of the White House, Mr. Josh Bolton? He's a Jew. The Jews are running America. Send them back to Israel. They even quote a few Bible verses out of context here in this organization's brochure telling me that God wants the Jews to return. And they need our help to return to Israel. Hey, Bill Gates, where are you? He's got a huge foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Billions of dollars in it. Rupert Murdoch owns Fox Television. He's Jewish. Lord Jacob Rothschild over in Great Britain, he's got more money than any man in the world. Why don't he spend a few $100 million to send the Jews back to Israel? You know who they're sending this out to? Evangelical Christians. They think we're so stupid. You evangelical Christians, you're so stupid, you'll pay money. I like one of the things here. This is incredible. Gives an example of a woman, Marina, and her elderly mother, who made Aliyah. That means, you know, immigration returned to Israel from Russia, where they escaped poverty, hunger, and brutal treatment at the hands of hateful bullies. What nonsense! Nobody in Russia, no Jews, are being bullied by anybody. They have such power in Russia, they'd crush anybody. The head of government of Russia today, Mr. Dmitry Medvedev, is a Jew. Can I say that again to you? Vladimir Putin recently left office, and now the new premier of Russia, the new head, equivalent to a president or chancellor, is Dmitry Medvedev, who is a Jew. No Jew in Russia is being discriminated against. They own most of the industry of Russia, including the huge oil companies there. And the people who gave us communism, Lenin and Trotsky, were Jews there in Russia. And they put millions of Christians to death. They built new synagogues in Russia while they were burning down and bulldozing down churches during the communist era. Of course, with the American press being owned by Jews, you'd never know that, would you? Boy, what a bunch of con artists these people are. Well, I'll tell you some other con artists too. In the name of fighting this so-called war on terrorism, which is totally bogus, the government database of its enemies keeps growing. Did you know there's over 1 million people on the no-fly list? That's right. You go down to the airport, ready to fly to visit your loved ones somewhere in some city in America, and the airline says, oh, I'm sorry, you're on our computer list. You can't fly. You're a threat. Well, what did I do? Well, maybe you wrote a letter to the editor they didn't like. Maybe you wrote a letter to your congressman. He didn't like it, so he sent it over to Department of Homeland Security, and they put you on their list. Over 1 million people in America on the no-fly list. Now, friends, before you can have privileges and rights taken away from you, according to our Constitution, you have to be given a fair trial by a jury of your peers. Here, they're just taking away your rights to travel based on rumors or gossip or because they don't like you. Isn't that amazing? Maybe you let it be known that you didn't like George Bush and what he was doing in Iraq. Maybe you told a neighbor or somebody where you work. Maybe they called and reported you and they put your name on the no-fly list. Is this the kind of country we have? Well, it's worse than that. Evidently, according to Harper Magazine, investigative reporter Christopher Ketchum, he says the federal government's secret continuity in government, or COG, program is much more than a contingency plan to provide safe havens for high government officials during a national crisis. According to Ketchum, and he interviewed government officials with direct knowledge of this program, this COG program, they're going to use, maybe someday soon, a national emergency to justify rounding up potential dissidents who oppose the government. And evidently there exists, according to Harper's Magazine. Now, Harper's Magazine has been on our newsstands for decades and decades, one of the most reputable news sources. According to this magazine, there exists a database of Americans who, and I'm quoting now, often for the slightest and most trivial reason are considered unfriendly, and who, in a time of panic or threat, whatever that means, might be incarcerated. We're talking, folks, about the already built American gulag. And this database that now exists, it's over and above the no-fly list. This one may be like 2 million citizens. We really don't know. But this database identifies, and they're able to locate perceived enemies of the state almost instantaneously. So the president or somebody in authority gives the word and they go around picking people up. This is what they did in Soviet Russia. They sent the Black Marias, they call them, the government black limos, picking up people all over. Had your name on a list. Get in. They hauled you away to the gulag, and many of them were never seen again. Well, we go from the building of the gulags and the preparation for putting us in the gulags to another matter. It has to do with your money and my money. Now, we already know that the agriculture, the food crisis, is a contrived hoax. There's plenty of food, but they wanted to drive up the prices, and they did. We know that the planet is awash with oil, but they're not drilling for it. It's not the environmentalists stopping him, although the environmentalists are pretty stupid and think they're really doing something. The environmentalists are doing nothing but helping the oil companies and the Illuminati elite to continue to perpetuate the scam on the American people. This way, the oil companies and the elite can say, see, we would love to bring down the price of gasoline, but we can't. Those mean old environmentalists won't let us drill. Meanwhile, they're not drilling on the land they've got. They own thousands and thousands of government leases and permits to drill. Even out in our coastal waters, the oil companies can drill right now. Out in the Gulf of Mexico, they've got a license. There's two fields out there, one called the Jack Field, the other called Thunder Horse, that experts say there are more oil sitting in the Gulf of Mexico off the Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi coast than have ever been discovered and brought up in the whole history of the United States. There's enough oil to last America needs 1,000 years just in those two fields without even going to Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Iraq and all those places overseas. Well, why don't they drill for it? Well, they don't want it. They don't need it. The more oil that they drill for and produce, the less the price they're going to get at the pump for it. It is supply and demand. And they're keeping the supply really low so it won't be more than the demand. Now, right now, they got a little problem because they raised up the price so much, up to $147 a barrel, that so many people can't afford it, the demand is dropping precipitously like a rock. And so suddenly the price went down from 147 to 137 to 135 to 130. This morning it was about $122 a barrel. By the time you listen to this program, it might be down a few more dollars a barrel. Why is it dropping? Is the oil crisis over? No. It's just delayed. They got ahead of themselves, drove the price up so high that the demand just fell precipitously. Wow, down into the sinkhole. People are selling their SUVs, their vans, their pickup trucks, their RVs. They can't afford gasoline anymore. They're trying to carpool, take the subways, take buses, canceling trips, canceling vacations. They're setting back their thermostats, and all those things mean the demand is going southward, dropping. Don't worry, though. The oil men will just stop drilling. Wherever they were drilling, they'll stop some more. They'll quit drilling even more. All the existing oil fields, listen to me, friends. Last year, even as oil was $147 a barrel, Pemex, that's the national oil company in Mexico, Petroleum Mexico. Pemex cut back its production 9%. Our neighbor, Mexico, cut its production of its oil 9%. Guess why? To drive up the price. So that people like T. Boone Pickens, this oil man, what a hypocrite, who's been on TV with all these commercials saying, I'm an oil man, but I know you can't drill for America's needs. You got to have wind power. What a bunch of malarkey. Now, I'll talk about T. Boone Pickens in a minute, but I want you to understand something. Whatever the demand is, they reduce the supply to try to be less than the demand. If the demand drops 20% this year, they'll drop the supply 25% to keep the price up. Don't you get it? The huge oil companies, the Illuminati elite at Wall Street, that are controlling all these things, they actually sponsor and fund the environmental groups. You think that environmentalists are a bunch of just unwashed hippies. No! The heads of these environmental organizations, Sierra Club, Greenpeace, all of them, they're racking in hundreds of thousands of dollars in salary a year. They're dressing up in fancy three-piece suits and flying around the conferences around the world and staying in first-class luxury hotels, and they're flying around in jet executive aircraft. Robert Kennedy Jr. Oh, he really cares. He's out there pumping. Oh, I'm an environmentalist, and I think we should stop drilling, and I think we need to go to alternative sources and solar power. Meanwhile, the guy has a 10,000-square-foot house. He owns two or three executive jets. He's flying all over the place. He's flying to Tokyo, to Mexico City, to London, England, to Monaco, living in the fanciest of hotels. And listen, his utility bill for his home would be enough to heat and air condition 50 or 60 of your homes. But he's head of an environmental organization. And who's paying him his salaries? The unwashed hippies? Who really believe and love Mother Earth? No! Check out ExxonMobil. Check out Shell Petroleum. Check out British Petroleum. Check out Texaco. Sunoco. You'll find they're the ones that set up the environmental groups in the first place. They created the environmental movement and the Earth Day movement and all those things. Now, they've made a killing from driving up the price of food. They've made a killing from the contrived hoaxes we call the oil problem. Next, water. Water. It's already gone up. I mean, when I was a kid, the cities and towns almost gave away the water. It was almost nothing. I mean, I've seen water bills in an average home here in Austin, Texas, that 50 years ago, they'd have to pay $3 a month for their water. And then $10, and then $50, and $100. Some people here are paying $200, $300, $400 a month for water. But it's only the start. These men want more and more. They're the greedy rich. I have a copy in front of me of Business Week. June 23rd, 2008, Business Week magazine. The magazine of the filthy rich and the wannabe rich. There's sort of a cartoonish drawing of the oil man T. Boone Pickens, the same one that's been on all the radio shows. It says, there will be water. Why T. Boone Pickens thinks it's the new oil. Interesting, isn't it? He's an oil man. He's telling you we need wind power. Yeah, as if you can put a windmill in the back trunk of your car and run your car on windmill power, huh? He knows that's hokey. He knows that's a bunch of baloney. Now, I know some of you are out there saying, but Tex, you don't understand, wind power could really help things. Okay, go buy yourself a windmill. I don't mind. We'll let the billions and billions of barrels of oil just sit there in the ground while you stupidos out there buy you a windmill and clutter up the environment. I don't mind. Do it. Have a ball. Put a windmill in your backyard. Put it in your front yard. Put it in front of City Hall. That's wonderful. I'm not going to fight it. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to solve a thing. They're just going to drive the price of oil up even more. They're going to keep lowering the supplies so it'll be less than the demand and drive it up. No matter what you do, they're going to do it. You have to find out who's doing it to you. You can go to solar power, battery power. It don't matter. But when we get back, we're going to talk about water and T. Boone Pickens and all the big elite companies, what they're going to do when they drive up your water and you're thirsting to death. And they say, give me the money. Give me the money. And I'll give you the water. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Secrets Volume 146. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, a lot of people have written me letters thanking me for what we do here at Power Prophecy. And let me tell you what our goal is. It's twofold. One is we believe in God. That's right. It may be old-fashioned to some people. And I get letters and they say, I like what you're doing, Tex, but I just wish you wouldn't mention God. I'm not a Christian. I just don't like that God talk. Well, you know, I want to be friends with everybody, but I'm not going to abandon God just so I can have you listening to this program. In fact, I think the people that write me letters like that, they need God the most. Obviously they do. And if it bothers them that I tell the truth about Jesus and the Bible and God, if it bothers them so much and aggravates them, that just tells me maybe the Holy Spirit is working on them. Maybe their conscience is seared. You know, doesn't stop me any. I'm going to do what I have to do to God. I mean, that's my first responsibility. And you know something? God knows how to take away this ministry. A lot of people say to me, Tex, how is it you can expose all these evildoers, all these highfalutin Illuminati bigwigs, and not get punished? Well, you don't understand. I have been punished. You know, I've had 4 years audited by the Internal Revenue Service. I've had a number of visits by the FBI just wanting to check on me. Oh, yeah. And you know I'm on every list. When they start rounding up people for concentration camps, old Tex Mar is going to be up at the top of the list. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't motivate me to be fearful. I'm not motivated to stop what I'm doing by fear of the government. I'm motivated to continue what I'm doing by fear of God. Say, well, you fear God? Yes, I do. In fact, that's the only thing I do fear. Jesus said, do not fear he who can kill your body, who can destroy your body. Instead, fear he who can destroy your body and send your soul to hell for eternity. That's the one you better fear. That's the one you better fear. And I do. You know, the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You've just begun your journey to wisdom when you fear God. But when you fear man, I'm telling you, it is a bottomless pit. Your fear will continue to consume you and grow and grow and grow. But when you fear God, there's an amazing thing that happens. You know what? God lifts you up. God gives you courage. God gives you bravery. God gives you an iron will. You become a man or a woman of steel. And you don't fear whatever Satan and his human agents can do to you. I sleep good at night. I don't fear devils are going to come into my room or evil spirits or whatever. And I've had those things visit me too in the distant past. And I've realized the power when I said, leave me alone in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And you know, they left me. Even the devil's spirits will leave you alone when God is by your side. And I count on God. I know him. He will never abandon me and he'll never abandon you. Now, I want to tell you something. A lot of people say, well, Tex, you must be making a lot of money in your ministry there. Oh, if you only knew. Anyone who works here sees we have a lot of orders for books and tapes and videos. But we have a lot of expenses. And in fact, we do not make any money off the sale of our books, tapes, and videos. We don't. The only way we can stay afloat is with your love gifts and offerings to this ministry. That's it. That's the only way we can stay afloat. So our books and tapes and videos are basically a service to you. Now, I don't go over the bestseller list and say, I wonder what book would sell good this month. When I put out my newsletter or I have powerofprophecy.com offerings, anyone knows better than that. I don't care about bestseller list. I don't look for what people might buy. I look for what people need. I ask God, God, what do you want me to offer? What would be something worthwhile? Those are the kind of books. And you know, sometimes they're books that even bookstores won't carry. They don't dare touch the kind of books, the videos that we offer here. Go out there, check out the books we have in our catalog, and then try to find them at Barnes & Noble or Borders bookstores or B. Dalton. You won't even find most of them. Some of them are put out by authors that are not accepted by the powers that be. The establishment says, no, we will not carry that book, but Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy says, we will. And people say, well, if you carry that book in your inventory, Tex, you're going to get in trouble. The government's going to be down on your neck. The Jewish ADL is going to be after you. Well, I don't pay attention to that. I don't work for the government. I don't work for the Jewish ADL or AIPAC. I don't work for the FBI or the IRS. Many years ago, we used to be a nonprofit organization, and the IRS came and paid me a little visit and said, you can't teach certain things. You can't say certain things if you're a nonprofit. And we said, oh, well, then we won't be nonprofit. And, you know, they said, well, then look at all the money you're going to lose. You've got to keep your nonprofit status. Don't you want it? And we said, no, we don't want it. We don't want it. Now, they didn't take it away from us. We volunteered. We gave it back. We must be, as far as I know, we're the only organization in America that was nonprofit and had been audited by the IRS, and they found absolutely nothing wrong with our financial. Nothing. They couldn't find one blemish on our financial record. The only thing they said is you can't teach certain things and be a 501c3 nonprofit. And as far as I can tell, we're the only organization that gave back their 501c3 to the government and said to the government, to the IRS, if we cannot tell the truth, we don't want your 501c3. Now, the Church of Satan is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The Church of Wicca or Witchcraft is. And every evangelical church in the country is. And the Catholic Church and the Order of the Jesuits and on. The Republican Party. The Masons are all 501c3 organizations. The Council on Foreign Relations is a 501c3 organization. But Power of Prophecy is not. Did it cost us money-wise? Yes, it did. But I'll tell you what, in our hearts, we profit. In our hearts, we profit. I wanted to tell you these things because some people don't understand. Got a letter from a man just today. He said, if you're really legitimate, Tex, why aren't you in jail? Huh? If you're really fighting the government, why don't they take you away and kill you? Huh? Well, they can't do that unless Jesus says so. That's right. The government can't do anything to Tex Mars unless Jesus says, okay. And you know what? He's right behind me right now. And I can almost hear Jesus saying, no, sir. This is my man. You're not going to touch him. Now, you know, just as the story of Job was in the Bible, the devil went up to God, had to report, like all of God's servants. You see, the devil is not independent. Oh, no, don't think for a moment the devil can do whatever he wants. The devil must do whatever God instructs him to do. I'm going to do a radio program on that someday, but you have to understand something. The devil's a defeated foe. He's a pitiful, pitiful devil. And according to the book of Job, at a given time, he had to keep an appointment to go up and bow down before God. And God decided to torment him a little bit. I don't know why God does things, but he does what he wants. And he said, well, devil, have you ever considered my servant Job? You haven't been able to get to him, have you? He's faithful to me. And the devil said, well, sure he is, Lord, because you put a hedge that is a wall of protection around him. But take down that wall, that hedge of protection, and you'll see he'll curse you. He'll obey me and curse you. Just take down the hedge of protection. Well, friends, that proves a couple things. Number one is the devil hadn't got any say about God's people. He controls. He can do anything he wants to if you don't belong to God. But if you belong to God, he can't do a thing against you. Can't hurt you. God has to give his okay. Because God puts a hedge of protection around his people. Now I know many of God's people have suffered at the hands of the devil. And God had a purpose behind it. I don't know what that purpose is. It could be evangelical purposes. If a man is a true man of God and he does what's right, and the government trumps up charges against him and sends him to prison, a person might say, Tex, explain to me why that God, that man who loves God is now in a prison cell. You know, friends, I don't know the ways of God. They're mysterious, unfathomable to you and me, but I want you to understand something. He has a reason for sending that man into that prison cell. And it might just be that he's there to preach the gospel to people who are lost in that prison. It might just be that God sent that man into that prison cell, unjustly convicted by other men, unjustly accused by the devil, but he might be there so he can preach to the prison guards or to the warden. You say, Tex, that's pretty far-fetched. Hey, you don't know the mind of God. God sends you places sometimes you don't want to go. And I'll tell you a little secret about my daughter who died of cancer a few years ago. She said to me, and Wanda, my precious wife, she was praying for healing for her cancer. We prayed for her, of course, constantly. She says, you know, Mom, I don't know what God is going to do, but I know I'm in God's will. I'm in God's hands. She said, but I do worry about one thing. I said, well, what is that, Sharon? She said, well, I told God I would give him anything. I've given God my life. And here I am, I have cancer. I'm not expected to live. The doctor said she had zero. That was her diagnosis. She had zero chance to live. She said, I'm afraid if God heals me, he'll make me a missionary and send me someplace I don't want to go. She said, I really don't want to go to Africa and those places, you know, and I just don't want to go. But if God tells me to, I'll have to. I said, well, Sharon, if God tells you to, he'll make you like it. You'll want to go. It'll be a blessing. And she started smiling. She said, you know, I know you're right. I know. I'll get a blessing. I'll love to go. Well, I know where Sharon is, my daughter. I know exactly where she's at. I'm going to be with her someday. So will Wanda. The question is, dear friends, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? I know where my daughter Sharon is. I know where my father is. I know where my mother is headed. She loves Jesus. I know where my wife Wanda is headed. And I know where I'm going. And it's not because I'm such a good man. It's because I'm a saved man. Where are you going? Where are you headed? Now, I'm not here to sell anything this time. I usually use this period to sell a book or a video or a tape, but I just wanted to talk to you from the heart. And I wanted to thank you for the love, gifts, and offerings you give this ministry. And I believe God is a rewarder. Now, if I were Kenneth Copeland or Paul Crouch or one of those guys, I'd tell you that God will give you back 100-fold in money. But I don't know that he will. But I know one thing, you cannot outgive God. He will give you blessings. My daughter Sharon was blessed as she lay dying by God. Her last day, I approached her. There she was in our living room. They put her in the bed so that everybody could be around her. There would be more room. We put the bed in the living room. She was dying. She was only a thin person. She had lost so much weight, she was like a scarecrow. And she just opened her hands up to me. She could barely lift them off the bed. I hugged her. She says, I love you so much. That was her last words to me. Let's return to our regular program. We're talking about secrets. This is volume 146. I'm Tex Morse. Talking about T. Boone Pickens, the oil man. There will be water. He thinks it's the new oil, according to Business Week. Business Week says water could become the new blue gold. The blue gold. Water. T. Boone Pickens has bought up water rights of underground reservoirs. He knows what's coming. A great water scam and hoax, and they're going to drive up the price of water, and Mr. Pickens is going to be right there to charge you a mint to keep from thirsting to death. Maurice Strong, former head of the United Nations Environmental Program, a Canadian, he owns the water rights to the Boca Grande area in Colorado that has the water for three or four states. Underground water rights. I think Mr. Maurice Strong, this billionaire from Canada, and Mr. Boone Pickens, a billionaire from Oklahoma, they know. You know why? They're going to do it. They're the ones that are going to drive up the price of water. Wall Street bankers are going to drive it up. And you're going to pay for it. And I'm going to pay for it. Well, Pickens said this here in Business Week, June 23rd. He said, there are people who will buy the water when they need it, and the people who have the water want to sell it. That's the blood, guts, and feathers of the thing, he says. Boy, that's just down home, isn't it? It's blood and guts and feathers. I'm going to charge you for the water. You need it, and I'm going to have it, and I'm going to sell it to you. Now, if we go back in history, all of these dirty, filthy oil men who have cheated us so much, they like to appear as charitable humanitarians. Now we have T. Boone Pickens. And by the way, he's given a whole bunch of money to Oklahoma State University. They built a whole football stadium, and they've honored him. I think the name of it. They've even named the stadium after him, if I'm not mistaken. T. Boone Pickens Stadium, Oklahoma State. He's a real humanitarian. He rips you off at $140-something dollars a barrel for oil, and then he can buy a big football stadium, put his name on it. Now, that makes him a great man. John D. Rockefeller did things like that. He set up Standard Oil, and then he went about to run all the other oil companies out of business to set up a monopoly and a cartel of oil companies that still exist to this day to a great extent. Standard Oil blossomed into Exxon Mobil and other oil companies. And old John D. said, I like to be a humanitarian. Why, he set up organizations, nonprofit organizations, zero population growth. Yeah, to depopulate the earth. He's a real humanitarian. Just like Bill Gates of Microsoft, the software corporation. They're giving money to the United Nations for depopulation programs, for birth control. They're real humanitarians. Oh, sure. You know, in my book, Mysterious Monuments, I show some of the grave sites of the filthy rich. Predictably, John D. Rockefeller, the magnate of Standard Oil, John D. Rockefeller's grave marker is a huge Egyptian obelisk. Vanderbilt, what's his grave site? A huge Egyptian obelisk. Of course, these people are part of the mystery religions. That's what I show with a chapter, a whole section in my book, Mysterious Monuments, my newest book. That chapter is entitled, Where the Rich and Famous Dwell. I don't know about T. Boone Pickens, but I'll tell you something. Even Business Week admits the man owns a lot of water underground. And you know something I want to ask you? How is it that a man from Canada, Maurice Strong, a billionaire, head of the United Nations Environmental Program, owns all the water for three or four United States, including Colorado? I think the people of Colorado own their own water. Who'd he buy it from? You can't do that. T. Boone Pickens did the same thing up in the panhandle of Texas. He owns all that water. Did you know these people are planning on building pipelines? Pipelines. So that especially the thirsty states are going to have to buy the water and pipe it in. You think they're piping in oil, they're going to start piping in water. And you're going to pay for it. Or they'll shut you off. And you'll die. Water. And you know, the Bible tells us that. The prophecies of the Bible say that in the last days, people will drink their water with astonishment. That's what it says. They'll drink their water with astonishment. It's pretty interesting. Well, you probably saw this in the news. Old Jesse Jackson on Fox Network was caught. They thought the mic was dead, but he was caught talking about Barack Obama. Jesse Jackson, oh, Reverend Jesse Jackson. Here's another one of these preacher fakes. Jesse Jackson, the race baiter, who's always using the black card. What did he say about Obama? He said, first he called him the N-word, nigger. They say you can call the N-word one black person to another. Oh, really? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't use it to call anybody by that name, and no one else should use it. Especially a guy who calls himself a Reverend Jesse Jackson. Of course, we know Jesse Jackson. He's a multimillionaire. And the guy, what he and his organization paid off one of his former employees who had his love child. You know, the guy's a disgrace. He said, I'd like to cut his blank off. I'm not even going to tell you what he said. You know that. Fair TV. About Obama, he said, I'd like to cut his blank off. Why is it if a white person said that, they'd crucify the guy? But Jesse Jackson can say it, and the liberals still think he's all right. Well, I bet they think a lot of Jesse Jackson down in hell, too. Probably, they can't wait for him to go down there, so they can throw a big party for him. Mm-hmm. Set a few fires down there, probably, in his honor. Well, evidently, the American Physical Society, made up of 50,000 scientists, the largest association or organization of scientists in the world, says global warming just might be a bunch of hooey. Can you believe it? It's the first time ever the American Physical Society, representing 50,000 physicists and other scientists, has reversed its stance on climate change and is now proclaiming and admitting that many of its own scientists disbelieve in global warming. Wow. Now, previously, this same group had said that the evidence for global warming is, quote, incontrovertible. It's undeniable. You can't refute it. It's indisputable. You can't argue about it. Now they've totally reversed themselves. Evidently, they said their membership is arguing about it. In fact, their membership doesn't seem to believe it. Wow. In an email to DailyTech.com, the head of the American Physical Society, Viscount Monckton, said, I was dismayed to discover that the newest scientific evidence does not prove global warming. In fact, he says, it seems that the methods by which our own leadership evaluated this matter concealed the truth. Oh my goodness, they were concealing the truth, the leadership of this group, and now the new leader of it says, I'm so sorry. Wow. Global warming, he said the danger of global warming is, quote, harmlessly low. Wow. There you are, the scientist. Meanwhile, the president of Czechoslovakia, Václav Klaus, says he is ready to debate Al Gore about global warming. Now, this president of Czechoslovakia, actually the Czech Republic it's called now, says that environmentalism poses a threat to basic human freedoms. He said, I'm ready to do it. Speaking at a National Press Club meeting in Washington, D.C., he presented his new book, Blue Planet in Green Shackles is the name of it. Blue Planet in Green Shackles. What is endangered, he asked, climate or freedom? My answer, he said, is our freedom and our prosperity. But evidently Al Gore is running and hiding. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for saying global warming is true, and now all of the organizations throughout the earth that track our weather say it's a bunch of baloney. Al Gore is hiding out. The Czech president, Mr. Klaus, is looking for you, Al. Come out, come out. Wherever you are. By the way, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, here's another article for you you'll enjoy. From DailyTech.com, March 1st, 2008. World temperatures drop. Wipe out a century of global warming. In 1 year, the temperatures dropped so low. In the year 2007, it wiped out a century of warming. Now, they say here that we're moving into a period of global cooling and that global temperatures have dropped precipitously. And the four major global temperature tracking outlets run by scientists all conclude, all agree, there is no global warming, there's only global cooling. In fact, they say that cold could be more damaging than heat. To which I say, perhaps all the scientists should read the Bible. Genesis chapter 9, verse 22. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Oh, yes. That's what the Bible says. Proven right, proven correct again. Oh, my. Don't you just love it? Well, the great sale of the United States. A lot of people don't understand what it's all about. It's on your $1 bill. And did you know it has a hidden side? That's right. The great eagle with a six-pointed star of Judaism is on the right side. That's the great seal. That's right. You say, what? The six-pointed star of Judaism? That's right. It's right on top of our eagle, almost crowning the eagle. That's our great seal. But wait, there's a hidden side. There's a reverse side that Americans didn't even know about till 1935, and Franklin Roosevelt, a 32nd degree Mason, put it on our dollar bill. There it is, right there on the same side of the $1 bill. On the left side, look, there's the hidden, once hidden, now revealed, side. It's the Pyramid of Egypt. You'll have to read my book, Mysterious Monuments, my new book, to find out what the pyramid really is all about. And the words there underneath it, Novus Ordo Seclorum, or New World Order in Latin. And there's the all-seeing eye of the great Egyptian sun god, representing Lucifer, right above it. Did you know, according to the U.S. Department of State, they sent out a bulletin February 17, 2008. Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State, says, quote, it is an honor to be the 66th keeper of the Great Seal. The Secretary of State is called the keeper of the Great Seal. She said she is the 66th person to hold that honor. 66. Well, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's been my great privilege to be your host today. And my prayer is that you'll tune in during this same time every week and discover the power of prophecy.